I want all of you to know what an honor it is for both Margaret and me to be here and to enjoy Southern California and to minister to each one of you. We're not done yet, but it really has been a delight. I notice at conferences, it's interesting, the first night, who is this guy who's speaking? And you're getting used to that. And then on the second day, on Tuesday, you kind of warm up to it. Then on Wednesday, everybody wants to chat. And it is a tremendous blessing to minister to each one of you. I don't want to be called reverend. I don't want to be called doctor. I do love pastor. I tell people I have a very simple view of evangelism. I love Jesus and love people. And so it's wonderful to include you in the orbit of the people that we love. In Presbyteria, Southern California, I'm waiting for you to, however you can do this, get General Assembly to get Mark Nelson to be a master of ceremonies. I'd love to live long enough to see that in an assembly when he can get all of those commissioners and visitors doing that clapping song that you did the other night. Then you would know that we're pretty close to the millennium if that kind of thing happened. You know, they say the millennium is that golden age of peace about which all Christians fight. So, but we'll see. With Mark doing that, we might come close to it there. We are going to sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" at the end of things tonight. You will sing it better than you did before. That was good practice. And notice that the word is not Lord Sabbath. It's Lord Sabaoth. And if you listen really carefully in the lesson tonight, you'll learn what Sabaoth means if you don't know it already. Tomorrow, I'll have a chair here like I did with the young people. And again, I wanted to say how much I enjoyed with all of you, but especially the questions the young people asked. But I'll sit at the front. I'll have a microphone. And we'll have, I think, two or three mics around. And basically, the format for tomorrow morning will be this. I've got just a few follow-up comments. They really will be relatively brief, but three basic things I want to emphasize from this week. And then I want to open this up to all of my fellow pastors who are here to, again, add anything that to what's been said, maybe highlight certain things. But I want the focus tomorrow to be on encouragements to all of you as you go forth into the holy war that we're all in. So we'll plan to do that tomorrow morning for the session here. Tonight, Diabolos has surrounded man's soul. And what we're going to do tonight is a little different than what Bunyan does. As I told some of you, the way holy war ends is kind of odd. It's a little bit like what we had in the trial of atheists, basically. And it kind of flat, in my opinion. And I think probably what Bunyan was trying to do was leave his readers knowing the holy war continues. Tonight I want to modify things a bit. We're going to go forward in a time machine. And knowing that Diabolos has surrounded man's soul, what we learned this morning, we're going to go forward in a time machine to see what that's like at the end of the world. And you'll see in just a moment that it really is something that represents the end of the world. And for you children, you can draw your pictures again. I love seeing those. For all of us in here, I want you to imagine this. I want you to picture this. As I was telling somebody the other day who said, "Why do you like radio so much?" And I said, it's because radio and words are the theater of the mind. And so I want you to use the theater of the mind this evening as you picture these things after we pray. Our Lord, we are told that we are to live as those always looking ahead to the return of Christ. In fact, the way the Bible ends, it's come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so tonight we pray that we would picture what we really cannot even begin to comprehend, the massiveness of it, the glory of it, the grandeur of it, the power of it. And that in no way can be duplicated. But Lord, let us get by the Holy Spirit a little taste of that, a little feel for that, a little picture for that as we deal this evening with the end of the world. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. And again, remember, we left this morning with Mansoul being surrounded by Diabolos and all of his hordes. And when the 1,000 years are ended, which is basically the whole gospel age, Diabolos will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. This is Mansoul that is now the entire world. To gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city that we've learned this week is Mansoul. Mansoul is now fighting the good fight of faith, and it has come to the point of being hand-to-hand combat with the devil and all of his henchmen. There are many casualties on both sides, and when is this going to end is what is being said by the Lord's people. How long, O Lord? Diabolos unleashes the army of what Bunyan calls the blood men. This is the persecution of the saints. This is a rich comment about persecution, penetrating, and I think accurate. Persecution is generally the last resort of a bad cause. This persecution is the last result of a very bad cause, the army of blood men. And this army of blood men has led by generals with honorary names of those throughout the scriptures who have in one way or another been blood men. Cain, Nimrod, Ishmael, Esau, Saul, Absalom, Judas, and Bunyan adds, Pope. Their legacy is to make a host of martyrs. And those martyrs are led by Captain Self-Denial. Martyrs, men, women, young adults, children, of strong convictions, of firm faith, of earnest love, who are willing to face death, knowing that they have something better, a city whose foundations and builder and maker are God Himself. And notice that they are led by something that is not very common in our culture, led by self-denial. Quoting Robert Maguire, M-A-G-U-I-R-E, Robert Maguire in his commentary on Holy War. Self-denial, writes Dr. Maguire, is the medicine of the soul, not always sweet, but most frequently bitter. Self-denial is the foundation of manly heroism and of all heroic virtues, seeking not her own. This is a cross-bearing place, even to the mount of sacrifice. Self-denial thinks more of tomorrow's sunshine than of the tempest of today. It provides for the time to come at the cost of the time now present. And it walks by faith of future glory and not by sight of present suffering. That's a magnificent motto for all Christians, to walk by faith of future glory and not by sight of present suffering, choosing rather to suffer affliction, having respect unto the recompense of the reward. Martyrs, writes Dr. McGuire, have always been self-denying people. The army of martyrs, these are those of whom the world is not worthy. And that's why studying Fox's Book of Martyrs and studying some of the Covenanters who were killed for their faith, learning about them, you are learning about those of whom the scriptures themselves say the world is not worthy. Now, the scriptures say, he who touches the apple of my eye, the apple would be the iris, whoever touches the most sensitive part of the eye, he who touches the apple of my eye touches me. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And even in the book of Revelation, there's a very special place given to the martyrs for Christ. And as we're looking at things in the time machine at the end of the world, this assault of Diabolos against the Lord's people focuses again on the blood men and martyrs. Now, Diabolos has really touched the apple of Emmanuel's eye. And as they cry out, Lord, save your people from the blood men, the behold in the Great Commission gets its final demonstration. Not only behold, I am with you always, now by the Holy Spirit, but behold, I am coming. Emmanuel now comes to the world with the host of his mighty angels, Lord Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. And they greatly outnumber the hosts of Diabolos. And they are infinitely more powerful than the hosts of Diabolos because they come from the throne of the infinite one, Emmanuel, the God-man. Emmanuel comes fulfilling the prophecy that his own arm has brought salvation for him, and he comes. Diabolos and all of his fiendish host try to flee, but there is no escape from Emmanuel and his hosts. All the Diabolonians are now to be brought to final judgment. And if you want to try to picture something, picture this. Remember that sin must be totally defeated, as must all that served against the purposes of Emmanuel and Shaddai and the Holy Spirit. There were these executions that came in history, but that never really destroyed sin and death and the devil and all of the devil's henchmen. Now, at the last day, they are gathered in the presence of Emmanuel and all of his hosts, the angels, the unfallen angels in glory. And I want you to see the picture. Lucifer, Apollyon, Beelzebub, Captain Incredulity, Mr. Mischief, Mr. Profane, Mr. Lasciviousness, and the whole remaining army of doubters, rage and fury and damnation and insatiable and brimstone and torment and sepulcher and past hope, together with the terrible army and its captains of fears, and of course, Diabolos himself, Satan himself is there. And the Diabolonians, the citizens of man's soul who are Diabolonians, are stripped of their sheep's skin, and there are present with all of their fangs looking exactly like what they are, wolves. And the rats are there too. All in every age of history who did not know God and did not obey Emmanuel, who refused to love the truth and be saved, who were deceived, who believed what is false, who did not believe truth but had pleasure in righteousness, they're all gathered together. All of this assemblage of all of Satan's hosts, both angelic and human, are gathered before Emmanuel. Now, this is quite fascinating. Emmanuel calls witnesses for the prosecution, as we learned of the other night. And those witnesses for the prosecution are, as you would expect, Lord Will Be Will, Mr. Understanding, Mr. Godly Fear, Mr. Prywell, and Mr. Credence. But there's something that is not quite full here. These witnessed in a certain place and a certain time the machinations of Diabolos and his henchmen. But this is the judgment of the last day. And as Emmanuel calls for witnesses for the prosecution, suddenly all of the creation begins to speak in unison. From the heavens and the earth to the devil and his hordes, heaven and earth now testify against you, you who seduced Adam and Eve and became the instrument to bring death to all of us. Because of you, we became subject to futility all of our days. You made us groan with pains of labor, hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires, tornadoes, cyclones, tsunami. You made us be as a woman pregnant with child, in labor pains, all of our days, waiting for this day of the new birth of a whole new world. Because of you, devil, and your hordes, the ground has been stained with the blood of countless soldiers who were slain in countless wars over countless years. Because of you, mothers and fathers and sons and daughters shed countless tears at the death of those they loved. Because of you, hospitals were filled with the decaying bodies of those who were ravaged by cancers and genetic disorders and diseases and self-induced destruction. Because of you, cities were ripped apart by crimes and towns were brought down by vice. Because of you, devil, and your hordes, there's an extinguishing of the stars in the galaxy, and there were spots in a sun marring its beauty. Because of you, even among the animal kingdom, there was viciousness and there was devouring and fights to death. Because of you, thorns injured and invaded beds of flowers. And the joy of labor, because of you, became sweaty misery of toil. Because of you, devil in your hordes, humankind learned to know evil and turned what was beautiful into ashes and brought wreckage to a world of wonder because of you. There is no voice for the defense. There is no further witness that is necessary. Execution now is at the cross of Christ by crucifixion. Execution here is execution to hell itself, the fulfillment of the dark side of the cross. Here again, from the book of Revelation that we began with in chapter 20, then fire came down from heaven and consumed them, Diabolos and his henchmen. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, who of course is Emmanuel. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The end of the world, but not the end. Emmanuel now ushers in what the Lord Jesus himself spoke of as the regeneration. Your new birth, your regeneration is a little interposition into history of what the regeneration of the last day will be, when we will have new heavens and new earth fully and perfectly. What new birth is now is new creation, as it's called. Now we are in the regeneration. And all the redeemed elect of God are now a new man-soul. And all the gates are opened in this new man-soul. Eye gate only sees Emmanuel. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Ear gate hears only the words of shalom, fullness of God's blessing, fullness of the meaning of peace, not just absence of war, which there is, but the fullness of the blessings of being reconciled to God. Mouth gate, full of praise and full of thanks. Every day in new heavens and new earth is Thanksgiving Day. Nose gate that smells the aroma of a new world in which its scent, if I might call it this, is Emmanuel spice. Feel gate that lifts up its hands to God in adoration. Everything is absolutely clear. This is one of the things I'm so looking forward to in glory. Everything is absolutely clear in new heavens and new earth. There's no cataracts of the spiritual eyes. There's no glaucoma of the spiritual eyes. There's no macular degeneration of the spiritual eyes. And the eyes are glorified. They are perfect. And there's perfect nearsightedness, so that as you're looking at what is before you, those things before your eyes up close declare as you never imagined the glory of God and the wonders of His creative work. And as you look afar off with perfect far-sightedness, all you can see in new heavens and new earth is the beauty of a world that is remade with elements and all of its scenery, all of its horizon, that radiate the glory of God. And you're able to see it without any impediment. All the streets and the houses in New Mansoul are bright because there's no night there. And they're always full of joy and delight and music and feasting and praise and happiness and holiness all together. And it's perfect and it will never end. All the citizens perfectly reflect Emmanuel. Now, the fruit of the Spirit now, it works in some pretty imperfect vessels, not so in glory. Because all of the bodies of those who are there and their souls will be made perfect in what's called glorification. And there is perfect love and perfect joy and perfect peace and perfect patience and perfect kindness and perfect goodness and perfect faithfulness and perfect gentleness and perfect self-control, so that what you see in each person in front of you is a perfect image of the perfect God the Son, for whom redemption is to serve His glory. And you see Him in each citizen in New Mansoul. And all are wearing white garments, the white garments of perfect righteousness that comes from Emmanuel, and the perfect garments of perfect good works that will mark its inhabitants for all eternity. And those garments will never be soiled again. Quoting Dr. McGuire, "And then is the high festival of the soul's peace and joy and rejoicing. Emmanuel now abides in the soul and reveals himself and makes all his goodness to pass before it. It's all his own, and he will honor it forever. He will bless it. He will make it holy. He will make it happy. He will arm it and strengthen it and advise it and protect it. And even now, he prepares to speak to it words of peace. When Satan is utterly cast out, then does Christ enter in with all his power, and as the last remnant of the root of sin is plucked up, so does Christ take root in the heart and fill it with his own great presence and inspire it with his Spirit and refresh it with his love." And brothers and sisters, it's not just the soul. You know, heaven's not a place where you float on clouds for the rest of your life playing a harp. It is literally a whole new world. What Walt Disney and his hosts spoke of is realized truly in the gospel of Christ. All there represents and displays the glory of God. But we are not there yet. So we get in the time machine from that time in the future, and let's come back to Juneteenth, right? June 19th, the year of our Lord, 2025. Emmanuel has a message for you. Emmanuel has a charge for you and for all of the man's souls this side of glory. This is Emmanuel's charge to you as you wait for his return and as all man's souls wait for his return. First, writes Emmanuel, I charge you to keep white and clean the garments that I have given you. They're the finest linen because they come from me. But you must keep them white and clean. When you do soil them, be quick to wash them in the blood of the Lamb. This will be your wisdom and your honor, and it will be greatly for my glory. Dress yourself according to my bidding. By my law, make straight paths for your feet, and so shall I, your king, greatly desire your beauty. Isn't that amazing? That King Jesus desires the beauty of a bunch of motley sinners saved by grace. But he says, dress yourself according to my bidding. By my law, make straight paths for your feet, and so shall I, your king, greatly desire your beauty. I am your Lord, and I am your husband. Worship me with my Father and with the Holy Spirit. Second, my beloved man's soul, I've often delivered you from the designs, plots, attempts, and conspiracies of Diabolos. And for all this, I ask nothing but that you do not return evil to me for my good to you. O my man's soul, O my family camp, I have died for you, and I live for you. I live so that you may not die, and because I live, you shall live also. I reconciled you to my Father by the blood of my cross, and being reconciled, you live through me. I will pray for you. I will fight for you. I will continue to do good to you. Nothing can hurt you but sin. Nothing can grieve me but sin. Nothing can bring you down before your enemies but sin. Take heed of sin, my beloved mansoul. Third, show me your love. Stand for me, my friend, against the Diabolonians, and I will stand for you before my Father and before all of his angels. Love me in order to fight temptation. You know what you need to fight temptation? A superior passion to what that temptation tempts you with. And that's only out of love for Christ. And so Emmanuel says to you, love me in order to fight temptation, and I will love you, though I know you have many weaknesses. Fourth, remember what my captains and soldiers have done for you. Lord Will-Be-Will, Mr. Conscience, Mr. Understanding, Mr. Godly Fear, Mr. Prywell, and so many others. They're your loyal helpers. Nourish them. Don't let them become sick. For if they're sick, you cannot be well. If they're weak, you cannot be strong. If they faint, you cannot be valiant for your king. Guard them, and they will guard you. Who are they again? The will, Lord Will-Be-Will, your conscience, Mr. Conscience, your mind, Mr. Understanding, the fear of God within you, the great chaplain within you, and Mr. Prywell, who searches within you so that you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer of it. Finally, don't live by your senses. Guard them, but don't let them be your masters. You must live by my word, as I did, out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You must believe, O my mansoul, when I seem to be far from you, that yet I love you, and I will be faithful to all that I've said, and I will bear you on my heart forever. Remember, O my man's soul, that you are more loved by me than you will ever realize. As I've taught you to watch, to fight, to pray, and to make war against my enemies, so now I command you to believe that my love to you is unchanging. O my man's soul, how I have set my heart and my love upon you. Watch, and behold, I lay no other burden on you than what you have already. I just call upon you to hold fast until I come. And with that, we come to the end of our journey through John Bunyan's Holy War. But I have been so thankful for the ministry of Dr. Robert McGuire. You've had two conference speakers this year. You've had Pastor Shishko and Dr. Robert McGuire, who well over 100 years ago went home to be with the Lord. But nevertheless, though he's dead, he speaks. And I will let Dr. McGuire have the last word in this series. At the very end of his commentary, he has a poem. I changed it a little bit. But we wrap all of this up with the poem. Remember, we started with The World Lost. Now, that was Monday night. Tonight, it's The World Regained. Down from his throne of peace and love, down from the shining seats above, he came. He died by sovereign grace to purchase back the rebel race. It's a warfare sore and long, and hell's permitted strength is strong, and souls are lost and conquest won. But yet, Emmanuel marches on. O world, he seeks your throne to gain, to wield the scepter of his reign. All earth and heaven are bound in this, your peace and your future happiness. Open your ears to hear his word. Open your eyes to see the Lord. Hold fast the royal courtly dress. Keep clean the robes of righteousness. I ask your heart. And incidentally, tonight, Emmanuel asks the heart of all of you. I ask your heart. Oh, give it to me. And you, my world, shall then be free. Once more, you will become the sacred inner shrine, redeemed, restored, forever mine. When Christ comes back, holy war will be done. We still have to fight it till he comes. But know that Emmanuel will get the victory, and it will be to the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And after he comes, no more war, only blessedness, to the glory of our wonderful God, when there will be the absolute fulfillment of what we've learned the chief end of man always is, forever and ever, in absolute perfection, you will glorify God and enjoy him when Emmanuel is your king. We're going to sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I've asked the living epistle, not the apostle, the living epistle, Paul, if he'll come and play. Oh, Sonia, you're going to play. Yeah. You are? Okay. That's great. I'm thrilled to have that. And you know, I pronounced it properly. You're also a living epistle, even though you're not Paul. But you are going to stand, and you are going to sing heartily as if you would never sing again, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and Sabaoth is the word, is Lord of Hosts. Let's stand together and sing.